and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, and today is April the 5th, 2017. We have a live show for you today, and looking forward to it. Today is a Wednesday, it's Wise Wednesday, so we definitely will have Wise Wednesday. And just before we get started, you know what I think is so funny, and I just want to thank you all. We started a little late today, was running late. And I won't be able to be here for much longer, but Brother Davis was going to chime in, and we're going to have Wise Wednesday. But then I have a meeting that I have to get to. But you know what? So when I look at the media, and what I really appreciate about you all and appreciate about Black Talk Radio Network, you know, I think it's very, very important for us to announce the date for you know, and I see a lot of different people on their different things that they do, and they never say the date. And it's so, so important, because you always want to memorialize what it is that you're doing. And I would definitely say, in speaking to that, I know it's off the cuff, you may think, Dave, where are you going with this? But it's very, very important for you to keep a record, a good record, of some of the events that are happening today in the world, in this moment, in eternal history, because in the future, that is going to be what people will be able to look back on and learn from. So let's leave a good legacy, and that's part of a legacy that you can be leaving. Everyone should be keeping a journal right now, because that journal and that journal, or if you would say that diary of what's going on, I would say not a diary, more of a journal. That journal is going to become priceless in the future. Really try to memorialize what's going on in the world and around you and your family, because that is going to be how I think a lot of people will be able to gauge and learn from that. And this is one of the things that we have allowed some individuals and associations to dictate the overall learning and teaching style that our generations that we've yet not named to come into. We allow them to teach them when we should be teaching them ourselves, so that it can be a more sincere and more of an organic relationship and more closer to some truths. So very, very important, everyone. Mind the dates, mind the events, and make sure that you can give them as a part of the overall inheritance of assets in the future. So just wanted to leave that and say that to you all. So with that being said, everyone, hey, let's continue to do that also by way of ensuring that Black Talk Radio Network will be here on air every day. And you can make sure that that will happen by giving some of your financial energy to this network to ensure that it will be here. You can do that by going to the website for this network, and that website is blacktalkradionetwork.com. Give some of your, once you go there to the website, you'll see the icon for donations. Definitely please do that so this network can continue to give into the future. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media outlet known as, or a social media network known as BTR Community. And you can find it on the website, or you can go straight to it by going to your browser and typing in www.btrcommunity.com, and that will lead you to the social media network. And for only $24 a year, that's yearly, you can engage in all of your social media activities without being adversely infected. So you can do that without, you know, someone selling your identity and data mining you and everything else. So engage in that, and you can still do all of your social media. You can actually, it's better for you to promote yourself, your business, or a business that you think is relevant, events that you think that need to have more public attention. You can do that at BTR Community. That's where I only post. So for only $24 a year. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you can do that by going to Prosperity Mint, PROSPERITYMINT.com. Prosperity Mint, check out what's in inventory there. And then definitely before you purchase, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com, or you could text me, 951-790-8330. Just want to make sure that you are purchasing correctly, because there is a proper way to engage in purchasing and exchanging your cash for real money. Because remember, the wage of a king and queen is gold, the wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver, and the wage of a slave is debt. Do not allow yourself to be paid as a slave, and you save as a slave. That will mean that you will have nothing to leave as far as an inheritance and to establish any real culture within your overall family and our overall community. So very, very important. So you could do that there. So if you would, everyone, let's jump into what's in the news, and we're going to get into today's show with Brother Davis. Brother Davis is there for Wise Wednesday. I will not be on air today. I have to run to a meeting as we speak, so I'm kind of rushing. So let's jump into what's in the news. Big ups to my man Roz. From number one comes from Futurism. Scientists find a way to use nature to kill superbugs. Check out that article. Good one. Next one. The full extent of Windows 10 data sharing is slightly alarming. Well, I would say even more. Great article, Roz. Check out that article, Roz, put that one. Next one, this one, Roz put in teen investigative journalist outs shady principal, gives up all hope for the future. Check out that article. Really good one there as well. Next one come from Cerebrally Naive Money, that's CNN Money. It says the company that created the world's biggest bribery ring. Check out that article. Roz put that one in. Next one, Roz put this one in from Cerebrally Naive Money as well. Trump defends Bill O'Reilly. I don't think Bill did anything wrong. Check out that article. Next one, this one comes from Deadline. Steve Bannon pulled from National Security Council in Celebrity Donald Trump's house cleaning. Check out that article. Roz put that one. This one from The Verge. FCC chair has more broadband choices at home than most Americans. Man, that's so true. That's where our daggone broadband capabilities have been gone. It's gone to this daggone airline. Check out that article. Next article from Roz posted. And this one came from AP News Archives. Usually large swarm of icebergs drift into shipping lanes. Check out that article. And the next article, I posted this one from Bloomberg. And this one is, when does a lender become a loan shark? And I said, as soon as you sign the loan doc. Check out that article. It didn't come up as well, but check out that one. Next one, and this was from Nothing But Criminals News, NBC News. North Korea fires missile into the sea off of the east coast. North Korea fires missile into sea off East Coast, South Korea says. So yes, last night for here in the States, North Korea fired another ballistic missile. And I said, I think we're in a countdown to striking North Korea, folks. Heads up. Heads the heck up. It's going to happen. Then later on, from Cerebrally Naive Network, the Secretary of State, Tilson, incredibly odd and confusing statement on North Korea. Check out that. And then the White House responded also and said the clock is now run out on North Korea's nuclear program. And that means, in my opinion, they're going to start to have military engagement. Also, in Syria, suspected gas attack in Syria reported kills many. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving toward closer to World War III and global nuclear war one. Right there, that article says everything. And it's, and I've also posted from Press TV. I said, here we go again. If you weren't able to see that, just click on it, and it will come up. Gas used in Syria. And they're trying to say that the Assad government did it, and the Russians are saying, no, it was the U.S.-led, the actual U.S.-created ISIS forces that did it. And this was no coincidence that North Korea did that yesterday, and the gas happened at that same time. It all is a part of, because they're moving to global war. And I want to say this before we go to Brother Davis. Once this thing kicks off, North Korea is going to use cyber attacks majorly, major cyber attacks. So you need to, and they're going to attack the banking and the infrastructure of the critical infrastructure in this country, in my opinion, as well as primarily they're going to target the banking. So you be all prepared for that. So with that being said, let me move over to Brother Davis. So Brother Davis can take over this Wise Wednesday. And I just want to thank you all. I will see you all tomorrow, and I greatly appreciate. Thank you, Brother Davis. Thank you, Scotty. I have to get to a meeting. I'm getting ready to run out. So, Brother Davis, whenever you're ready, yeah, we're ready to go with you. You can just unmute yourself, and we'll get going. So just give Brother Davis a second to get ready, and he'll be right in, and there he is. Brother Davis? Okay, Brother Davis unmuted, but wasn't able to hear him, so he'll probably come up in a second, give him a second to get on the board, and we'll get going. So while he does that,
I'll take over for you, Dave.
Very, very important. Be prepared for any and everything, because this whole thing, one of the things that I wanted to post, and I didn't get to post it, there was actually the Cerebrally Naive Network was actually had a Congressman Lee, and Lee was talking about, they're just waiting on Donald, celebrity figurehead Donald Trump, to declare war on Syria. To declare war on Syria. That's the only thing that needs to be done. I wasn't able to follow a lot of what else was going on today. Been quite busy. So with that being said, Brother Davis, are you in queue, ready to go? He's there on the board, so...
Brother Dave, give me a second. I'll take over for you so you can make your event. I just need to pull up a chair. Give me a second.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. But I think Brother Davis is there. He may, Brother Davis, if you would, if you could call back in because we see you there unmuted, or you may have your own. You hope Brother Davis isn't talking, thinking that he has the line open.
I'll have it call. I'll hang up and have it call him, because that could be what's going on.
Yeah, he may be talking and...
Let's see.
Yeah, it dropped. Okay.
No, I so, hung yeah, up on I hung up on him.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so as soon as Brother Davis comes back in, he'll probably... hopefully he'll unmute himself. He probably had it on mute on his phone, but unmuted himself there on the board. That's possibly what happened. So... We're good to go. So, hey, Scotty, could you take over? Because I got to get ready to
get on the
road to get to this meeting.
All right, Dave. I have a productive meeting.
Thank you, brother. And I truly do appreciate you. All right, everyone. Talk to you soon. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Talk to you soon. Peace.
All right, this is Scotty, station manager of Black Talk Radio News. While we wait on Brother Davis to join us, I want to go back over some of the things that was posted by 410 today. There's a couple of news items in there that, especially the chemical attack that's happening right now or is being reported on right now. I'm just trying to pull up his page. Give me a second. That's being reported on right now. I'm very suspicious of that alleged chemical attack. I'm always suspicious of everything. And I think that's just a sad way to live, maybe. But, I mean, when you understand the nature of the system and the deception that's involved, I think that's pretty healthy to be skeptical of everything, no matter who the source is. So, Press TV, which is Iranian-based news network, is saying that the Syrian military has categorically denied the accusations leveled against it about being involved in a suspected chemical attack in Syria's northwestern Idlib province that killed dozens of people. Now, I don't need to read the rest of the article. It is posted for you in Tando Radio Show's description. But immediately I became very suspicious of this. It sounds like a false flag, not meaning that that the attack did not happen, but meaning that those who perpetrated the attack are not who they're telling us it is. And one of the clues is whenever you have an event like this and immediately the press starts to point fingers at a perpetrator, and you see it on all the American, let's just stick here in America. You see it on all the major corporate news networks. All of them are saying Russia did it or the Syrian army did it. And I was watching this one guy they brought on, and he was saying, well, only the Russians have air capability in Syria. Now, right off the bat, you should know that's not true, because the United States has been flying planes as well as the Israelis into Syrian airspace. It was not long ago reported on this very program how the Syrians had turned on their anti-aircraft system, which was built by the Russians or provided by the Russians to go after some Israeli planes that had violated their airspace and attacked what they said was a military convoy. So Russia is not the only air power operating in Syria, so that should tell you right then and there that this person is a liar, all right? And I suspect it to be the Israelis, because the Syrians and Russians have been winning this war, as we've been reporting for weeks now, just using conventional weapons without utilizing chemical attacks and things. So it makes no sense in the court of public opinion for them to launch this attack. This seems like a very desperate move. Syria and Russia are not desperate. It is the U.S.-backed and U.K.-backed Syrian rebels who are desperate right now. And so who stands to gain from this conflict continuing on? Well, if we go back to Hillary Clinton's emails, we know that she said that they were doing it for the benefit of Israel. So that would be my suspect number one, of Israel wanting this conflict to continue, wanting to bring down the Assad government, which Donald Trump's administration has said that they changed their mind on that. They're not about regime change in Syria. So it made sense to me that Israel would be the perpetrator of this chemical attack and not the Syrians and not the Russians, because it just makes absolutely no sense in any regard. So I thought that was a very important story. Let me see. We have from CNN, as Dave calls them, the Cerebrally Naive Network. Let's listen to how they are reporting it, if I can get this to pull up. Says the following video contains extremely graphic imagery. Viewer discretion is advised. Okay, that's not being much help, as it's only pictures of children and other victims of this chemical attack. Let's just read a little bit from the article and see if we can find a slant in how CNN is reporting this. World leaders expressed shock and outrage Tuesday at reports of a suspected chemical attack in northwestern Syria to kill scores of civilians, with one UK official suggesting the incident amounted to a war crime. Activists say, and I don't know who these activists are, said the Syrian regime was responsible for the killings of at least 70 people, 10 children among the dead, including the United Nations, leading the United Nations to replace a scheduled Security Council session for Wednesday morning with an emergency meeting. So again, who are these activists, and what makes them such an authority that CNN would report their allegation? And who are these activists? So they were talking about Syrian activists, probably based in the UK, those part of the overthrow or attempted overthrow of Syria. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's military denied using chemical weapons and blamed rebels for the carnage. Russia, Syria's strong ally, said it had no warplanes in the vicinity. But from Washington to London to Jerusalem, leaders denounced the reported airstrike. Now, why would they mention Jerusalem? That seems kind of odd to me. I'm not aware of any kind of world leaders or anything like that on the national stage of people from Jerusalem. So that's a hint that they're talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister. Why didn't they just mention Israel? Because, again, as I've already stated, that would be your number one suspect. That is who stands to gain from such an attack. And if this war was to, let's just say, to expand. It says that, let me restate this, but from Washington to London to Jerusalem, again, very odd, leaders denounced the reported airstrike, which, if proven true, would be one of the deadliest chemical attacks in Syria in years. Today's chemical attack in Syria against innocent people, including women and children, is reprehensible and cannot be ignored by the civilized world, U.S. President Donald Trump said, adding that he thinks the attacks was a consequence of the past administration's weakness and its irresolution. President Obama said in 2012 that he would establish a red line against the use of chemical weapons and then did nothing. Well, you know, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He says what he thinks. Usually, you know, I don't see what's the point of bringing up President Obama and using these terms. But again, the prior chemical attacks, they couldn't prove who done it. And then there were also credible reports that the Saudi Arabia was providing the Islamic extremists that they have been utilizing in their participation in this proxy war with chemical weapons. So I don't see, they do mention Netanyahu later. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrote a series of tweets saying, in one, there's no excuse whatsoever for the deliberate attacks on civilians and on children, especially with cruel and outlawed chemical weapons. Never mind the fact that this is a man who killed a bunch of children, a bunch of women in the Gaza Strip. Remember that summer, and President Obama signed that special emergency legislation to rearm Israel because they were running out of bombs and other munitions that they were using to take out the defenseless people in Gaza. So, tell you, it's getting serious over there. I look at this as a desperation attempt on the part of the state actors that want to bring down the Syrian government. Again, my number one suspect is Israel. So let me check the board again. I don't know what happened with Brother Davis. I don't see him on the board. Perhaps, just as I brought up his name, here we have him. Brother Davis, are you there? Brother, yeah. Brother Davis?
Yeah, I got disconnected. Hold on one second. I apologize to you, Scott. I just realized it.
Some of the other stuff that is in the news, Dave mentioned, says the clock has now run out and all options are on the tables. The official said, pointing to efforts to end North Korea's nuclear program. And this is coming to you also from CNN. Another article, Rex Tillerson's incredibly odd and confusing statement on North Korea late Tuesday. It was reported that North Korea fired a ballistic missile into the Sea of Japan, the latest in a series of test firings, and one that comes just days before Donald Trump is set to huddle with Chinese President Xi Jinping for a two-day summit in Florida. So, again, we find the United States all over the world. I did a BTR news report for Wednesday. I usually do it for Tanya Free and Friends. And as I mentioned, the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968 on April the 4th, which would have been yesterday, would have been the anniversary, that one of the things that Dr. King said was that the United States was the greatest purveyor of violence on the planet. And so as we read these news stories of these conflicts, military conflicts all over the world, who is always there? Who always has a presence? Who is always sticking their nose in it, if not starting something? That would be the United States of America Incorporated. Brother Davis, are you ready? Okay, it appears that Brother Davis is still having some issues. So if anybody...
I got it now, Scotty.
Okay, all right. So I'm turning it over now to Brother Davis. We'll take our station identification break here on Black Talk Radio Network at the top of the hour. If you have any questions or comments for Brother Davis, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025. Hit star on your keypad to unmute. Please watch your background noise. Now, Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I do apologize. I had a technical difficulty. You know, in certain areas of the country, you just have problems, and hopefully we got them worked out. But listen, I'm hoping that tonight I got your attention because I wanted to bring to the forefront the fact that there is so much going on around us and that it's happening to us that literally it could overwhelm a lot of us. And the reason why I say it like that is because now we are finding out that not only is our food inundated, but our air is inundated. We have a political system that literally is dismantling all of the environmental protections. Our FDA literally that has given corporations control over every aspect of our lives. And to boot, we have to come to the realization the United States is no longer a country. It has always been a corporation. Now, it was run like a country to give the appearance of something, but it is a corporation. So its agenda is based on debt and liability. Or should I say profit and liability. So when I sit back and think about all of the things that are hitting us, I'm wondering, are you getting caught up in the turmoil of the agitation in the environment? Because literally, it can have a serious impact on you. And literally, it can cause you to have a great deal of stress. Now, that's very dangerous because literally, we do not know the parameters of stress on the body. Now, some of you may think it's just tension. No, it's not just tension. Stress attacks the body in a multiplicity of ways. Just like everything else, we have to find a way where we are finding a way to find our point of control. And what is our point of control? That's a point where we can find at least some peace in the circumstance. Now, one of the tools I use, I've always said, was meditation, and I would encourage you to. But I always want to point out to what we do have control over. Why? Because when you operate on your areas of control, you're starting the improvement with you. And you're moving that improvement actually, in some cases, in from inward outwardly, or you can do it from outward inwardly. And the reason why you can is because it all comes down to you making a decision. And a lot of times we fail to realize that even when we think we're making a decision, it's been a program that's running that we don't realize is running because we're not looking at the multiplicity of avenues in which programs are run in our lives in spite of what we think, feel, or see, or say, really, because we're not focusing on what we're doing from our position of priority. And what is a position of priority? As I mentioned this before. You ever go out and you might have a little appetite, but when you ride down the street and you see all these fast food signs and you look at your time and before, all of these here things add up to manipulating your brain to think accordance to what they want you to think. So if you ride by 50 fast food places and you're hungry, you're not hungry, but you might have a little trend, you know, an apple, a piece of fruit, or some trail mix could literally take the edge off, or maybe even a glass of water. But because their program is running in your mind out of your control, it's just tapping into different things, you begin to wonder, you know, what do you mean out of control? Absolutely. You know, you heard it, have it your way, Big Mac, the Whopper. You see, they drop these things on you so that you will follow that constant bombardment of confusion that's around you. And the perfect example was the last election. You got a man elected based on a phrase, make America great. Never said how he was going to do it. Never said what he intended to do. But yet, now he's in the most powerful seat in the free world. And he still hasn't said what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, which leads you to believe that literally people behind him are controlling him, and what he thought he would be in control, he's being controlled. That's what happens to the average person who is out here thinking that they're benefiting by something they have no control over, such as advertisement. We are not benefiting by advertisement. But anytime you sit down in front of a TV or a radio, you're bombarded with it. And the sad part about it is that, you know, they want you to think, oh, it's just entertainment. It's not just entertainment. It's taking away your right to make a decision over your life. The Nazis had a concept called the Monarch Program. And the Monarch Program was designed for complete mind control of masses of people. Now, for those of you who don't know, that's in full effect in America today. The monarch mind control, the system has been tweaked, it's been tuned, and literally it is at large everywhere you go. You see those cell phone towers that you could tell it's not only there for cell phones because they got all of these here little transistors, or should I say receivers and transmitters on. Well, those receivers and transmitters are there by design, because they're targeting masses of people. And they're doing it in a multiplicity of ways. And that is why we have to focus on us, the individual. You have to focus on you. And you can't see yourself as being a small part of a great circumstance. Because when you do, you see yourself much smaller than the problem. And really, what you should do is be seeing yourself as the solution to the problem. I had the good fortune of being in the right place at the right time, and I heard an old speech by Malcolm X. And Malcolm X always said in his speeches, don't go to somebody else for a solution to your problem, because if they don't have your best interest in mind, you've shown them what a problem you have with a certain thing or a certain issue. And think about that. When you go to somebody and you explain to them that, you know what, I got a problem with this, and you really don't know their intent for the knowledge that you give them, they are subject to use that against you. Now, why I bring that out is because today, for those of you who don't know, once again, the internet is in the news. Now, there is talk about giving the populace back the rights of freedom with the internet. But you have to understand that the internet is the most powerful tool in the 21st century right now. So even if they told you they were going to give you, the public, the right to have autonomy or control over it, they're not going to relinquish the tool that has become for them. Now, for those of you who don't know, all of the alphabet agencies are connected with the internet. Absolutely. CIA, FBI, all of them, they're all connected. Even your local police department now is connected with the internet. And for those of you who may not be aware of it, your job employers may be very well looking at your Facebook page and everything else, because they begin to see you through a different lens. And that may be a lens that you don't want to expose to them. See, one of the unique things about it is that they have done things now about take your pictures off that you might have taken 2 or 3 weeks ago, or take an anniversary picture from last year. Well, this year's anniversary, your picture shows up. Now, for those of you who think, well, you know, oh, that's nice. But in reality, it's not nice, because guess what? They're telling you that we know who you are. We know who is in your family. Everything you put on Facebook, we got a copy of. So don't send out a suspicious email, because if you do, they can turn that to be whatever they want it to be. I'm trying to give you an insight of the multitude of problems that the system of technology we invite into our homes every day. Now, the reason why is because I'm going to start pointing out solutions after I bring out these specific points. Remember when the mail was delivered? The only person you had to worry about, if you did, and I never really worried about it, is the mailman. He's the only one that seen where your mail was coming from. He didn't know who was in the house. He just knew the name of the person in the house. Well, these particular technologies today, when you go online, wherever you go, you leave a window. And when you leave that page, that window is still there. So literally, they could find everything you do any way they want to. Why? Because it serves their purpose. And we got to understand that if we are going to operate in our best interest, if we are going to make ourselves the priorities, we have to understand the importance of being able to control what we are going to allow technology to do with our resources. Now, I'm going to tell you how blatant it has gotten. How many of you have seen this new device that you could put in your house, and literally it's a Bluetooth device that talks to you, answers your questions? They have a name for it. I can't even think of a name for it. But when it was first exposed on the iPhone. And that's right. The name of the iPhone's individual, or should I say animated intelligence, was Siri. And so, you know, that became so popular that it was even showing up on some of the more popular TV shows. Well, now Siri is so popular that they're moving it into your house. Now, here's the what I call the dynamic of a lack of control. Whenever you put something in your house that can listen to everything in your house and can communicate with every smart device in your house, you have given up your control. Oh, they want you to think this is new technology, but in reality, it's a greater window for Tom to peep in. And Tom ain't just peeping in like the old ways of just peeking in the window. No, he's coming in with listening devices. He's coming in with cameras. He's coming in with your utilities. He's coming in with every aspect of, should I say, smart technology that's available. Remember when they were legislating the fact that you had to have smart meters on your home? We were saying then that this is not a good thing. And people were saying, well, you know, they wouldn't have to go out to the house and check your meter like they used to do. And, oh, well, listen, When they did that, you had what's called one-on-one interaction, and you met that person from time to time. You didn't have to know them on a social basis, but at least you met that person. So that's it, you know they were human. But with this new technology, you don't know who these people are. You don't even know if they're human in reality. So we have to wake up at where we are, what we're doing, and how we're really selling ourselves out. Now, I know some of the people you're saying, well, I think it was that bad. It is that bad. I'm going to tell you why. Because now they got an information act. Do you realize that the major service providers now want the right to record and sell your information? That's right. So if you go on the telephone and you talk to your girlfriend, say, yeah, girl, I've seen a blouse down at Macy's. I want to go buy, but I'm going to wait till it comes on sale. When you go to your internet, you're going to see that blouse. Because they're literally coordinating what you're seeing with what your desire is to spend your money for. So we have to wake up to the pervasive tool that technology has become. And it has taken away your ability to be a human. Now, what do I mean by taking away your ability to be a human? Okay, let's take, for instance, grocery shopping. Remember, there was a time when you would go to the grocery store, and it might have been an outing for you or one of the children or two of the children, or maybe you and your husband. And you would go through and you would have your list, and you would look on your list and see what was to buy. And you could literally read the product to see if it met your level of criteria. Well, now they have it so that you don't even have to go to the grocery store. And guess what? They don't even want you to read what the labels are on the food. Because now they have what's called smart shoppers. Oh, yeah, that's right. You can call any of the major grocery stores. And literally, they will take your shopping list, break it down, ask you the products that you like, what you don't like. Understand this. You can no longer read the ingredients of these products that is constantly changing. You know that you are getting the best investment for your dollar. And by the way, you're going to notice that they are going to charge you a fee for this after they've already moved the prices up on everything that you're buying. Why? Because the inflation is coming in that they used to tell you was something that wouldn't happen, but it's happening. And it goes by your zip code. So if the demographics that you live in are literally fairly middle class, so to speak, you are going to pay more for certain items there than you would in other areas. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example. In most low-income areas, you're going to find that the gas prices are always higher than they are in the affluent areas. Don't take my word for it. Do your own due diligence. I'm just trying to give you an understanding of how we are literally putting ourselves in a position where we are relinquishing the control over our lives. They've already designed your community right now so that you don't have to go outside that community for anything. Everything that you want is designed to fit in the community unless you live in the urban areas. What is the urban areas? Those are the areas in which we, the people of the natural first selection of the earth, live. Why? Because there they don't have what's called fresh markets. You can't go out the door down the street and hit a Giant or a Ralph's or a Vaughn's or a, these places you got to go outside the city for. You know why? Because they know it's going to cost you a certain amount of dollars to get out there, one. Two, they know that you're going to buy the freshest quality they have because if they wanted you to have it, they would put it so you could get it. And three, they also know that only a certain proportion of those people in that community are going to get out there. So this has all been by design. And listen, there is no exception to this rule. This is all over the country. So I don't care where you live, there's certain unique things about it. One, if you live in the city, the city's surrounded by an interstate. The whole way around the city. And see, they won't tell you it's for containment. They'll tell you it's for easy access. But literally, it's for containment. They call it a beltway, and most of the time it's an interstate or a connection of interstates that enclosed the largest populated area. You see, these are the tools that are being used now right under your nose because literally we are not participating in our best interests. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to point out a show that in spite of what all is going on around us, we still have power. We just have to be able to take that power to our and use it to our advantage. Because right now, although you don't know it, somebody is listening to what's going on in your home. Now, they may not be listening because they're trying to find out if they can do something to you. They may just be listening because they're trying to cater to a specific advertiser in that area. Or say you got a 14-year-old daughter. They might be trying to find out how many 14-year-old girls live in that area for the demographics or whatever. Because they always give you an excuse for it. And the sad point about that is that you don't even know. And you know what else is common? They're starting to do little things that are trying to get these people to come out. This is the time of year. So you know what you're going to see on TV? You're going to see half-clad women and children on TV. Why? Because sex sells everything. You're going to see freely of the fashions commercials. You know, the Old Navy and I can't even think of American Eagle, those sort of things. You're going to see a lot more of them. You know why? Because they want to cater to your children. We have to take control. And I'm going to talk about things about how to take control in the next hour. But I want you to keep in mind that you have a responsibility, not only to you, but to your family. Why to your family? Because they're going to follow your lead. Whatever you do, that's what they're going to do. So if you think that it's not bad if a person is vulgar and cuss a lot, and then you do that, that's what they're going to do. And, you know, the sad part about it is that they're not going to see anything wrong with it because you didn't project anything was wrong with it. And in the meantime, while they're out there doing it, people who are listening to them are literally putting together a concept of who that child is in their mind without even knowing the child. You know why? Because they're going to judge them by what they hear. And the sad part about it is that may not be who that child really is. That is why we must take control. We've been bombarded with things. You're going to see a lot of movies about religion. Oh, you're going to see religion, religion, religion. You know why? Because they want you to be faithful to the religion. Religion to them is a foundation of how America works. But really, in however you see your religion is your choice. But when you think about it, there's certain things that your religion tells you you cannot do that the very people who gave you the religion don't pay any attention to. You take that any way you want to take it, because in reality, even the person who's passing a lesson is doing things that are contrary to what he's teaching you not to do. So we got to open up our eyes. Another thing I want you to also understand is the educational system, the very place that you send your children to. They're indoctrinating your children right now to teach them to understand this. You don't know what sex you are, so let me tell you. That's right. I mean, literally, the kids are going to school and they're in fourth grade and they're saying, listen, we're going to have a lesson today on genderism. What do you mean, genderism? Well, just because you have male parts don't make you a male, and just because you have female parts don't make you a female. Are we hearing this yet? Because this is a complete invasion on your right as a parent. Why? Because they can. Until you do something, they can. And they do. And believe me, do you realize there are more suicides by young people today than at any time in history? Why? Because they have been indoctrinated to think contrary to what is natural to them. They go out here experimenting with the fact. See, some people really are attached to the fact that they may be something that they don't appear to be. But if you're dealing with an innocent child who really doesn't understand that, and they begin to get caught up in relationships then they'll find themselves doing things because of that, trying to maintain a relationship with this person for reasons that you have no idea what they're doing. And by the time that reality comes to her or him, that that's not who they are, they already have to live with the gruesome memory of whatever it is they did. We as parents must take control, and we must take it back, and we must start with ourselves, because this is how we allowed our children and our families to get caught up in this, because the system that we thought was entertainment, remember that when you used to think, oh, TV's only entertainment? No, it's not. The very system that we thought was not doing what it's doing is doing what it's doing. So, this is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. The number is 866-510-9025. I need you to call. Why I need you to call? Because every area of the country is dealing with something that they're suffering from and being victimized by it based on the fact that they were not sure or they didn't have a complete understanding as to why this was going on and who was implementing it and what was the purpose behind it. Listen, the reason they had those meetings that they don't tell you about, you know, you're getting to pick up the paper and see on the front page, car chased down the street, cops got involved, one man did, and then on the 32nd page, down in the bottom fourth of the paper, they have this small writing that says, community board meeting will decide the curriculum of the school. And 90% of the people, since the article is so low and so small, don't even know what's in there. And then when you are a student, enough to say, you know, in last night's paper, you're going to be hearing people to say, you know what, I didn't read the paper last night. Well, if you ask them, when's the last time they read the paper, a lot of them will say, I don't read the paper. So we have to be astute about finding the avenues in which they are implementing change and then turning around and say, well, we had a public forum. Didn't you know about it? But if you turn around and say to them, you had a public forum and did not know about it, well, you didn't advertise that public forum as much as you advertised that shootout. If you would have put the shootout on the back page and put the public forum on the front page, the public would have been there. But they don't want you there. Are we getting this picture here yet? Because literally, it is being a victim of our own ignorance. That's what it is. When you're not astute enough to know that these things are going to affect your children, and you're not astute enough to take the due diligence so you can go there and if not participate, listen, then you're going to be victimized by those people who have a plan that has been in place for a long time. You see, when they do something, they didn't think about it last night. They thought about it 10 years ago so they could put the pieces in place to implement it. There's a lot of things happening that we could really be a part of in this change. But guess what? It's not going to happen unless we wake up. And there's agencies out here now that are called grassroots groups that are building in communities that are talking about all of these issues, a plethora of issues. And we got to find our role so we can make a difference. Because I'm going to tell you something. If we don't do nothing, they will do anything they want to. This new Supreme Court Justice. The worst thing that could happen to Americans. Now, certain Americans are probably saying, well, not us, no, you too. Because he is literally a puppet for corporations. And they know it. And for those of you who don't know it, I'm going to tell you the power that's behind this. There's $17 million have been invested for that man to be name to be selected for that seat. $17 million. Do you realize that man could be in that office from now to the rest of his life and he'll never make $17 million? Think of the dynamics we're talking about here. Because in reality, until we do something, people are going to think we don't care. And we do care. Every time I look at one of my grandchildren's face, I care. Every time I walk down the street and I see a child that might look like they're hungry, I care. I care enough to say, excuse me, where's your parents? Because they might have some good news for me. Oh, they're sitting right there in the car. I just let me out so they could talk. You never know. But if we stop asking questions, y'all, because see, that's how we were brought up. You go outside, your neighbor come out there and look around and say, who's watching you? See, it's because we were the caretakers of our communities. And we've allowed that to lapse because of the program of selfishness that's running rampant in America. We have to do something to make a difference. Understand that. Let me repeat it again. We have to do something to make a difference. And there's a lot of organizations out here now. I'm going to tell you, she was here to hear this, your trip. My wife has a cousin, and she was so upset behind the political election, she started a webpage. And this thing just took off. And now they're going to do protests, and they're pushing her out front. And I want to tell her, girl, I'm so proud of you, but I haven't had a chance to. But she's demonstrating the very dynamic that I'm talking to you about today. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday. You can reach us at 866-510-9025. This is your opportunity to be able to voice how you see yourself and what you feel you can do. And I'm going to give you some real good clues on what I'm encouraging and getting involved in myself. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Brother Davis. Brother Davis.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I was muting. I was just going to. Listen, this is Brother Davis, and we are back. And listen, it's so powerful when you have an idea that you can incorporate, and it grows in you. And that's what happened to my wife's cousin. And here's what's so unique about it. She is literally now at the forefront of a lot of protesters in her area. And literally, I'm saying that she's being on the news. They're asking her the one group she started through a blog now has grown bigger than herself. And they're looking at her as a leader. Now, she's a very well-educated woman. She has the ability to be able to put the pieces together and make things happen. And guess what? That's what she's doing now. So you literally can do the same thing. But you have to start where you are. Now, some of you say, well, I really don't like what's going on in the school. But what are you doing about it? I really don't like the way this whole Supreme Court thing's going, but what are you doing about it? You see, a lot of times we feel because we are one individual, we are looking at ourselves as being the sliver of pie instead of being the largest chunk. Okay? So now I found a site called Indivisible. Now, with Indivisible, it's a practical guide for resisting the Trump agenda. You see, this is an organization that literally is telling you on the level that you are, where you can download information, and it's telling you who's running, where they're at, what they're doing. It's telling you about the health care system, who's it's going to affect, what they're doing. It's telling you about how they're merchandising different areas? What is merchandising in different areas? They're marketing their concepts of things in given areas. One of the things that they're marketing is this the so-called way to fracking in Pennsylvania. They want you to get the impression that fracking is good. It is not. Here, they give you a download that explains fracking. Not only does it explain fracking, it tells you what the pros and the cons to fracking is. And believe me, it's a great big con. Do we get a little oil out of it? Yes. But in the meantime, we destroy the groundwater. We destroy the erosion of our earth. Wherever they do fracking at, it's totally destroyed the environment. And the $2 that they make don't come back to us at the pump. No, literally the few dollars they make, the people who benefit is the property they dig on. But guess what? They can't use that property no more. So they might as well pay them well, because when they get done with that property, the groundwater's destroyed, the land's destroyed, the soil's destroyed. They're trying to give you the impression that it's good for America. It is not. And guess what? They're marketing the idea around the world. And that's just one of the things they're doing. I'm quite sure you've heard of the Koch brothers. Yes, the Koch brothers literally are telling you right now that they are in the driver's seat. Why? Because they got a puppet in the White House. You've seen his selections. Every one of them's a multi-billionaire. Do you think that we are in the same class as them? Absolutely not. One of the ways that you can make a difference is if you decided that you're going to sit down with other like-minded people, and in your areas of conversation, discuss those things that you don't like. And then when you come across like-minded people, then ask them, would you be interested to be a part of something, a group of change? And if they say, yeah, then you go to spots like it's built. Indivisible is just one. Because there's a number of grassroots spots that have guides on every level of the government, whether it's your local government, your municipal government, your state government, or your federal government. There are things that you can do, but we must start with the first step. Now, another thing you can do, if you don't like the way your grocery markets are run, you can go in and form a group at the grocery market. Did you see the prices on such and such? Do you see how much they're growing? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're an astute shopper, you know already that the prices are going up and up and up. And as an astute shopper, you should be able to go to that grocery and say, you know what? We don't need all these products. Because look at what's selling and look what's not selling. Because, see, what they do is they will bombard the store so that when the main product that you come for is gone, you will take one of the subsidiary products. Well, those subsidiary products may not be what you want in the preliminary product, but they're about making money. They're not about giving you satisfaction. So, therefore, when you go to that store, you can say, you know what, I'm not satisfied, and I want to talk to the manager. And then when people walk by and say, I believe that the store literally is maintaining certain products because they have an avenue of getting them out when they don't have the main products that we seek. You're not the only one. Look at the quality of meat. You can go into any store that sells meat, and whatever meat they sold yesterday, they didn't sell yesterday, they got in there today. And guess what? There's no timeline to how soon that meat has to be sold, but there is a timeline to their profit margin. So if it's there after 3 days, they might mark it down. Understand, 3 days, they might mark it down. If it's there a week, they might mark it a little lower. And guess what? Beyond that, who knows what they're doing? We do know they color it to make it appear to be something it's not. We do know they've done things to meat itself to make it appear more fresh, and it's not. So we're allowing them to victimize us based on our ignorance of the tools that they use. And that's not even counting the processed foods. Because we know the processed foods is a gamut, literally, of circumstances that are beyond your control. Now, let me be very clear. 75 to 85%, and that's really a very conservative numbers, of processed food, all processed food, the GMO ingredients, all processed food. You hear me? Now, do you have a sickness that you're going through right now? Understand what you're eating, because that may not be because you wanted it. That may be because of the taste you like of a specific food that has a GMO that does not agree with your system. And guess what? By the time you begin to realize what the true problem is, you got to go to another corporate segment, because this is what they're doing. They're moving you from corporate segment to corporate segment. So when you leave the grocery store, you're telling them, look, we don't want this product. This product, this is a substandard product. When he runs out his major regular product, he's not ordering because you want it. He's ordering according to a timeline that he has in order to see a profit. If that product doesn't sell, they have ways of getting rid of it at a profit later, because even if they get rid of it at cost, they're ahead of the game. So they have an understanding. The only people who don't have an understanding is we, the people, because you know why? We allow them to divide us. See, we buy gas at the same gas station. We get victimized by the same politicians because we live in the same city. But yet, because you think that the corporations are white and we should be separated based on color, based on education, based on religion, and we separate ourselves like that based on these so-called guidelines that they don't want to tell you about. They just live them. And before you know it, they're enacting them in groups. And you know the groups, the Greek groups, you know the groups, the state groups, the union groups, all of these groups already have a guideline in place. Now, for those people you say, oh, unions don't do that, listen. Unions have been practicing nepotism since the beginning of time. Don't tell me. I was a part of that. I know. So don't think for 1 minute that somebody who don't look like you ain't sharing the same problem. You know what the problem is? They're not talking to you. And guess what else? You're not talking to them. But you get behind that cash register, and when you go in to cash out and that woman goes ahead of you and she gets to pay you, and you say, my God, our groceries are going up. You watch their reaction, because they'll turn around and say, you know what? I've noticed the same thing. There's common time. There's common area for conversation. And when you got common area for conversation, you can take that conversation anywhere. But we have to make everybody understand that we are all in the same boat. I try to get people to understand this when the Supreme Court decided that corporations had the same right as individuals. I said, that's a problem. There's no way a corporation can influence politics by sticking a $2 or $3 million agreement in front of their face. There's no way the average citizen can do that. But you know what people were saying? Well, it's the law. Now, no, it wasn't the law. Anytime they pass something, there's a period of time in which we could show our disapproval. But if we don't operate in that period of time of showing our disapproval, we give up our rights. And when we give up our rights, we become victim to whatever it is they rule above us. Because they designed the law, they do not keep you abreast of it. You know why? Because on the 73rd page, in the middle of the third paragraph, down by the bottom, you see four sentences. If you do not like this, there's going to be a public meeting, such and such a place, such and such a time. Sponsored by so-and-so. That's it. So if you're not looking for it, you're definitely not going to find it. We have to stand from the position we are in and take back the things under our control. Look at the school district. Do you like the way they're educating your children? And if you don't like the way you're educating your children, what are you going to do about it? Because, see, this right now they have bills that are coming down the line that are literally going to take the money right out of the public education system, and there will be no public education as we knew it. It would be public education as they want it. And you've already heard them talking about charter schools, and people saying, oh, charter schools are so bad. Listen, if you can't stop the law, then build a school that will fit the needs of the children in your community. Let me repeat that. If you can't stop the law, then build a school that will fit the needs of the children in your community. And listen, I'm not telling you something that I'm not trying to do myself. Because for those of you who know, I'm trying to, we have a farm now. So as our farm expands, we want to teach our own children. We want to teach them not only what the state requires, but we want to teach them what their history is about. We want to teach them the gloriousness of the real truth. What is the gloriousness of the real truth? Well, you can start from peanut butter to the streetlight. You can start with the sewing machine. You can start with blood plasma. We have a glorious history. But guess what? They don't teach our history in the schools. You know why? Because they want us to see and emulate them. You can never grow to understand the importance of the role you play if you're going to emulate the people who want you to think a certain way. You are going to have to open the doors of your mind to be able to say, you know what, this is not in my best interest. I don't know if you have seen it on Facebook. There's a girl. She got accepted by 8 Ivy League schools. Ivy League schools. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I would love to see her go to HBSU. I know that's flooring some of y'all. But it would give her a culture lesson that would it not only fortify her, because she can always go to an Ivy League school, whether it's undergrad or what, but it would give her a culture lesson that would make her better prepared to go out here and deal with a community that wants her to emulate them. And you see, I have to keep pointing that out because in reality, until we take the lead in teaching our children about us, who we are, how we like our, something simple as how we like to have our eggs, how we like to bake apple pie. These are the tools they're going to use in the future.
Brother Davis.
Yes, brother.
If I may interject there on the question of HBCUs, they have produced a whole lot of people that are Americans. Now, I don't want to say that, I mean, let me put it this way, emulate the people that's in power that's running an unjust system based on slavery and maintained through racism. Now, Absolutely. These HBCUs, we see people like Roland Martin, who tried to help Hillary Clinton cheat. Well, not tried to help, did help Hillary Clinton cheat. The former leader of the DNC, Donna Brazile, who got fired off of CNN for helping Hillary Clinton
Absolutely.
Cheat. You know, I think she went to a HBCU. I could be wrong on that, but I know Roland Martin was. We look at Donald Trump's administration. What's the black woman's name? Omarosa. She went to a HBCU. So I'm not really seeing... I do agree. Well, I've never went to a HBCU, so I can't comment on what history they teach in black folks. But American history is our history. Like on New Abolitionist Radio, we're going to highlight an abolitionist, a black woman who was free. She wasn't no slave, but she was an abolitionist and spoke out and was an activist, you know, to use today's modern terms. And
Absolutely.
So, you know, I just want to interject that that these HBCUs, you know, also participate in the Americanization. But then it's also, I think, has been mentioned before, certainly, you know, by myself, agreeing with Neely Fuller, that oftentimes, though we do study history, the push is to study history to deal with some people's self-esteem issues. But the real intent should be to find out how we got in this situation so we can figure a way out of it.
Absolutely.
I'll leave it at that,
see,
Brother
that's
Davis.
Why when you got 8 Ivy League schools that feel this girl is intelligent enough to go to those schools, if she went to a black school, she would critique it closer. You know why? Because she sees more of herself there. She would see the power of the Greek organizations. You see, that's really what... You're speaking in reference to, whether you know it or not.
That's included, but I also, in
Absolutely.
Fairness to her, hate to use that word, ding, 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 but in fairness to her, she's her social, political attitudes are going to already be shaped by the time she get to college. It's already shaped by her parents.
I agree, but she may not know the inner workings of how the system is designed to get black people to work against black people's own best interests. You see, when you are in that much of demand, she's young. She got the time to see from the perspective of the college education that she could choose to go to or the one that she can literally absorb more from. Because in reality, there are people out here that look like us to work against us that it was once her. And that's the main thing. We must understand that in order to get our children to understand the importance of their growth so that when we get old, they're prepared to lead. And they can't be prepared to lead if they're not reading stuff like Nellie Fuller. You see what I'm saying? We don't know if she was exposed to that. They should be reading stuff like Frances Welsing. They should be reading stuff like Dr. Good, G.M. Good. But if they don't know that, we need to at least put them in a direction in which it will literally be in their face. That way they'll be able to adjust with how they're going to handle it from their perspective. See, if you go to, and I'm going to point this out too, when you go to one of these white universities, literally, you are emulating them so much, you can get lost in who you are. And it happens all the time. And the perfect example was President Barack Obama, because he was a powerful brother, had a lot of options. But look what he did with the most powerful position in the world when he could have did much, much more, especially in opening the door. Not, understand what I'm saying, not giving, but opening the door so the opportunity is there for those people who wanted to go out and make a difference, could join his team and literally help things happen. But no, he bought a group of already financially connected white people in there who literally guided him for 8 years. And the only thing black people got out of it that I could really say that will benefit them to some degree is the healthcare system. Other than that, they got nothing else. You see, that's the problem of being caught up and being brought up in the system without seeing a lot of people that look like you. That's the only reason why I tell her, consider HBSU. Because if nothing else, you're going to see the people who literally come in with the same mindset that you do, who do things a slightly different way, but you're going to be able to focus on them more clearly because they look like you. You see, I went, perfect example, I went to an all-white school. When I went to that school, I emulated. I didn't know I was emulating, but I emulated. Why? Because I had to keep up with their standard of grades. I had to meet their tests. I had to study to be able to pass. You see, so I literally was emulating them. Now, some of you would think, but ain't that what you do all the time? No. Because when you're in a controlled environment like that, everything is set up on a schedule. When you got to work hard from home, if your home does not have a schedule, when it's time to eat, you got to stop and go make yourself something to eat and come back and start. You got to have the fortitude to be able to make things happen in your life. And believe me, she didn't get there by herself. She probably come from an educated family who gave her the tools to learn or study well at an early age. But either way it goes, these are the things that we need to start to perpetuate and reproduce in not only in her family, but in all black families. Because literally we're coming under very uncertain times. And we have to start paying attention to the very system that is literally destroying us. And a perfect example, you talked about the abolitionists. Radio, there had to be abolitionists were the people that were there to help in a very diverse circumstance. But if you haven't really listened to your show, you wouldn't really know that, because if you ask the average person on the street, are you an abolitionist or are you a victim? You know, I don't know how to answer that question. See, this is why we have to take our time and at least help people find a way to see where they are, look where they want to go, and help them put the pieces together to get there. Because there's a girl, I can't even think of her name, she was just appointed, sisters, twins, appointed judges. They were just appointed judges somewhere in the South. And the one sister, when she was asked how did she feel being selected as a judge, she said, I was honored. The other sister said, I'm glad to be in a position where I can help. That was an entirely different connotation. And see, that was what we're trying to get our young people to see, that we can help them get to a position where they can help. And how do we do that? We have to first be the example to help them find directions. And in order to do that, we might have to go to some uncomfortable stages with the school district or with city council or with maybe even the mayor. But yet and still, in airing our grievances, there are going to be other people who are going to say, you know what, I feel the same way. And all of a sudden, you're starting to put things together, and you can, you know what, we can do this and we can do that. There's a group now who are targeting Republicans that are voting for this new this new judge. Why are they targeting? Because they know that he's a vote against their best interest. So now what they're going to do is they're going to put together their own PAC, and they're going to solicit funds, and the funds that they're soliciting are going to be from private individuals. They're not going to corporations. See, there's a way to put a plan together, but until we open the door, we can't really go through it. And one of the things that the lady said that she started when was part of starting this PAC was when we started out, we didn't know what we were going to do. We just knew we were damn mad. And that's all it took. So if we're looking at ourselves as a people, we should be damn mad. Matter of fact, there was Martin Luther King just yesterday. He just had a celebration. Do you realize the people that murdered Martin Luther King are still alive and well and out in the streets roaming? I mean, think about that. We as a people let the greatest, the most legendary black American of our time, a serious, true revolutionary for our cause, be murdered down. And the only thing that came out of it was they blamed it on somebody else. And then when it came and went to court, for those of you who don't know, the U.S. government gave the King family $30 million. You know why? Because they put the pieces together and the government was behind it. When are we waking up here? We have a responsibility that we have to take control of our lives. I'm not asking you to do nothing for me. I'm asking you to do it for you. Look in the mirror, look at your children, and say, what can I do that's going to make a difference for them tomorrow? And if that's going to that school and confronting that school about an educational system that has been defunct, then let's organize and put together a charter school that will make education a functional part of our area. You know, I was reading the other day of corporations are saying that certain areas they won't build distribution centers and that sort of thing because the people in that area are not qualified or educated enough for that corporation to function there and have in case they have a turnover or they give them a regular workforce. Think about that for a minute. They're talking about us, and we know many people that we – The unemployment rate for young black men got to be in the area of 30, maybe 35%. Oh, they'll tell you it's 7, maybe 10. But no, I'm telling you what I know. It might be as high as 50 in certain areas. And these brothers who ain't got nothing to do with their time, if they're not creative thinkers, if they didn't come from an educational system that allowed them to at least shine a light on who they are as an individual, as well as meet the standard of the state, a lot of them don't even have diplomas. So they're literally at a disadvantage coming in the door. And we got to look at this here from our perspective. And our perspective is we don't have the decent the warehouses and distribution centers that we could even hire them at. It's not that we don't have the money. It's just that we have not organized and collated our ideas and bring to the forefront a need so that we could fill that same need for other people. But listen, I know I might sound a little soapbox here. But once again, before we go to break, I want you to understand this is an opportunity for you to make a difference in somebody's life. And if, you know what? If you're really fortunate, it might make the difference in your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our lives are constantly evolving, both internally and externally. And if we're not aware, we become victimized. We victimize ourselves by our ignorance. You hear us talking about food, and you hear us talking about politics, and you hear us talking about precious metals. We do these things to educate you, because that way, when you become empowered, regardless of how you benefit by that information, we benefit. And we benefit because of the opportunity you've given us here at Black Talk Radio to come into your house by putting us and hitting us on your dial so that you can hear the issues that are at hand and the solutions that you can operate in. Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that we need, but the first thing we need is people to understand that they can make a difference. They can stand up and look around, and they won't be alone. Because if you have issues, the very people that are around you have some of the same issues. And if they have those same issues, more than two is a group. You hear my dynamic here? So if you have a group, all of a sudden now you have a movement. Everybody always says, don't let an event, something be an event when it can be a movement. Well, if it's going to be a movement, it's going to take more than a few. It's going to take more than a core. It's going to take the whole group. Remember now, this is Brother David here on Wise Wednesday, and I definitely want you to give us a call here. After this break, I want to you to call and give us your ideas on how you can make a difference in your community, and we'll converse, and we'll change this monologue into a dialogue, and we'll expand the minds of all those people who are listening, looking for an opportunity to step out and say, I am working from that position of what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Be right back.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. I hope you buy the phones. You can give us a call in. In the meantime, we'll give you a little idea of what we're working on. Here for Wise Wednesdays, we're looking at the time of year, and my wife is working on a program of downsizing, and she's talking about how this time of year people like to do a spring cleaning. It might be a time to turn those things that you haven't used to have value to into some value that you can use in another area of your life. She's also talking about the show that she's working on right now with Sister Rafika in reference to sustainable living, which is an excellent show. I'm going to have experienced that, and we're really looking forward to putting that show together. We're also going to put together some shows that have to do with how we can take our children, give them the right tools to learn to read earlier. And then maybe even sit down with them and listen to them read. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like having a child beside you who's excited about reading. And this is a side note here. I got a six-year-old grandson. And I mean, he's so excited that he can read now because I have this thing about buying books. And I've been buying books for his older sisters. And it was like, you know, I want my book. So I bought him a book. I went out and got him a Navi, you know, so he could start learning how to read and rest yourself a little bit. When I went home last time, he said, Pop, I can read. Now, it was on the level of which he is on. Don't get me wrong. He's only in the kindergarten, coming out of kindergarten on the first grade. Okay, it's words that he can read. But the whole dynamic of seeing the joy in his face. Now, you know, when I left him that night, I went straight to my book depot. And the reason why I say my book depot is because I like to buy it from black businesses. So when I was at the bookstore, I was looking all over to see if I find something unique for him. I think I found one or two books. I haven't given them to him yet because he's still reading small words, you know, dog, cat, the, or that sort of thing. But I got some books that I know when he really begins to pronounce words, he won't have a total understanding of what he's reading. but I want to give him stuff to let him know that I'm trying to gear him in a direction that will help him become more empowered with that. Is there any other things you want me to mention right now, darling? Okay. Well, getting back to the show, I also want to point out that we have an opportunity right now, because if we literally look at the legislation that's coming down, down the pike, we could take over our educational system and meet our needs. Now, when I say meet our needs, the state is still going to have a standard. But everybody knows that standard is less than we're capable of producing. Let's be for real. So we'll take that their standard, and we'll take their education that they want us to teach, and we'll flip that. Well, how do you flip that? I'm not going to sit and teach them for a test. I'm going to teach them the math. I'm going to teach them the science. I'm going to teach them the history. So when the test comes, those sort of things will be easy and minute for them. They can blow through that. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to require all the parents out here to have children and those who don't have children. Those people who have been in the educational system that are retired, you become an excellent consulting for them. And even if you can't make meetings and everything, just call one of them sisters who will come over to your house that you can sit down with and say, you know, I've been thinking about this and I've been thinking about that, and implement that. And then when they can have a meeting and those girls, those ladies are all together and they're thinking about putting ministers and all that in, then you'll find that a lot of times, you know, all of that information just pops up and it's there, and bingo, here's a form for her to put that information out there amongst the people that is going to make a difference with it. And the best part about that is it's all your own initiative. And there are a lot of people, especially I find occupational people, plumbers, electricians, and all those sort of things that are out here, but in reality, they're retired. They're looking for something to do. They want to do it all day long, but they will add to a curriculum. And why not? Because they are on the ground floor of their past experience. Now, they may not be the type of people who want to be in a classroom, but they may be the type of people who come in once or twice a week just to look and observe and help whoever is doing the instruction to stay on the path to achieve what they're trying to achieve. And see, the best part about that there is that we get a result. The whole time, we still are able to attain a result because we are, as a community, are working together. I don't care if the guy's a baker. There is something he could add to the education of our children that we must start seriously considering making a priority. And the best part about it is that they will see from our experience what they will have to do for their children. That's the main lesson. So that they see us working for them so that they could be the workers for their children. Because I don't know, one lady told me, you know, I hate to think of my granddaughter one day will have to take care of me. But you know what? That is the truth. Our children may one day have to take care of us. But we need to equip them so that they can be the best that they can be, and they'll be there if we need them to offer us the best that they can offer. And I'm going to tell you something. We have a long history of compassion for each other, a long history. We have a long history of peace and collaboration. We have a long history of communityism. But we've allowed a short history in our time to allow us to be separated psychologically from the cultural patterns of the people that we are. We can change that. But we got to believe that it's going to start with me. And if I do my part and you do your part and our children see that, they'll do their part because that's the example. My grandmother used to always take care of older people than she was. And I really never thought much about it. And my son said to me one day, he said, how come you always go over to Aunt Mary's house? She's about 82, 83 years old. I said, yeah, she is. But you just check on her. I said, well, no, I don't just check on her. I make sure she don't need anything. I make sure she don't, if her car's having a problem, I can go and get it taken care of. I said, I do whatever it is that she allows me to do because I want to. And the joy is that she sees me there. So she knows I'm there because of the examples that I was taught on my time. And he looked at me and he said, oh, so literally I should be learning from this. I said, well, I hope you are. So literally they're listening. But if we're not doing anything, they have no example to follow. Do something simple. We were going one place one time and the car got a flat. I looked back and my son, he had the most dumbfounded look on his face. I looked at his little brother and he was like, well, he don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I said, come on, we're going to knock this out in 20 minutes. He said, what? The car got a flat tire. I said, yeah. We got to a safe place. I said, put the brake on. When they put the brake on, we bust out the prongs. I said, I just bust the nuts off. Don't take them off while the car is still. And I showed them how to do it. And in 20 minutes when we was ready to go, you know, they was looking at each other saying, you know what, I could do that. I could do that now. I said, what's the first rule? He said, put the brake on. Find the safe place and put the brake on. So they're learning. We got to just take the time and make sure that the lessons that we are leaving them become a greater legacy than the people that we are. You've heard me say many a time, I cast a greater shadow over my children and grandchildren than my sign. That's because I give them the tools to be able to apply in their lives when they need them so that they can always say, wow, you know what, I've seen my dad do this, and he taught us, and I didn't realize how much I knew till I had to do it myself. See, that's the power that we have to operate in, the power of self. And you have your power, and I have my power. But just think, if we brought those two powers together, we become powerful. So we are not short on need, but we're not short on the ability either. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we are at a great time. If this economy wants to go crazy, we're in a great chance to help each other. Because I'm going to tell you something. Expect there to be some discomfort in the future. Expect that. But if you have some excess clothes and that sort of thing, somebody may need them. Somebody might have some canned goods that you may not think you may need, but if you took them, you never know who will need them. And if you just happen to be the one that need them, you'd be glad you had them. But we got to break down this program of selfishness that is literally running our communities, because it is denying us the ability to have interaction with our neighbors. And you know, the sad part about it is that when I was coming up, and I never even thought about it, I knew all the neighbors on the block. Parents too. And guess what? They knew me, because that was how we live. We're living in a time now that was definitely programmed, and we can change that. But we ain't going to change it if you go to the door when your neighbor comes out of getting out their car, walk up the block, you close your door real quick and go back inside. No. You at your door and your neighbor's coming out. We used to walk out of the porch and say, hey, how you doing today, Mr. Thornley? I'm all right. I just got off work. Well, I hope you had a prosperous day. He said, yeah, my prosperity is here. Now I'm home. You see, the way we reflect ourselves to our children will make a difference on how we are going to be productive as a people beyond our time. And I'm going to tell you something. We have to teach them to learn to live, eat, and act like they want to be here as long as they can. Because right now, with the food the way it is, it's designed to kill you early. I'm telling you, I know. You don't have to take my word for it. I always tell you, do your own due diligence. But literally, your body is designed to last at least 100 to 120 years. But if you don't do the things for it to be able to reach those points, it never does. And that's why I thought we had to show about the bad habits. People's bad habits will kill them. We can change all of this. Don't for one minute think that because you were in a box, you got to stay in the box. And my wife said, don't treat your car better than you treat your body, which is a very good point. Because, you know, if the oil's low, you're going to go change that oil, because you see that car as a tool. You should see your body as a tool. Don't put nothing in that tool that's going to break it down, because guess what? You need it to last as long as you can. And you know what? I was telling my wife, my grandmother bought us up on nuggets. This is knowledge nugget. But one of the things she used to say, I'll never forget it, don't wait till you're 50 to take care of your feet. Now, as a child, I used to say, why would she say, well, wait till you're 50 to take care of your feet? But I've always taken care of my feet. Always. I got a partner. Well, I got a brother-in-law who had his hip replaced. He's slow to get up and he's slow to get down. And you know what? I look at him, he's younger than me. And a lot of times I want to say to him, you know, you can do some things different. But he's given in to a circumstance. And listen, I'm not critical of him. I associate with him. But our lifestyles are so different. But you can make a difference. And I tell him all the time, you know what? He wants to be a golfer. He wants to be a golfer. Oh, yeah, my wife was saying, but he noticed about the blood pressure because there was a conversation that we were having. And I was asked, well, what type of medication do you take for blood pressure? Yeah. You want to tell America? Okay. We was in a setting, and everybody was talking about blood pressure and the blood pressure medicine they were taking. And black men over 60 or over 50, they're all on high blood pressure medicine and this and that. So he got to me, he said, what kind of blood pressure medicine? I don't take no blood pressure. Everybody got quiet. They said, what? I said, no, I never in my life took blood pressure medicine. They said, well, what do you mean? Everybody takes blood pressure. I said, no, I've never. Yeah, actually, a few of them thought I was lying. But because of the decisions, the influences, and the power that's in my life, and all of that doesn't come from me now. Because I contributed a lot of that to my wife, a lot of that to my surroundings, and a lot of that to the way I was growing up. I was always in a position that they were giving me the things that would allow me to live long and give me the advice to sustain that. What do I mean about the advice? Well, I went through a time when I was young, I used to smoke a lot of weed and everything. My grandmother used to say, you know, you shouldn't smoke. Listen, she smoked cigarettes. And she said, you know, the worst thing I ever did was start this habit. I never had a habit of smoking other than a little bit of Mary Jane in my early years. But I never really had a habit, never had a problem with. Some places I go now, I see brothers that are my age and they're a little younger and then they're teens. And as soon as they get out in the fresh air, they light up and they don't realize that it's a destructive problem, and the people that they see, the kids that see that, are going to think that's acceptable. That is not acceptable. That is what I mean about the examples that we have to be setting. And the importance about that is then that child doesn't ever have to worry about taking on a habit that is self-destructive. Because, see, that's what that is. Whenever you're doing something in excess, it becomes self-destructive. And I'm talking about from smoking cigarettes to having sex. And I know some of you brothers out there are probably going to say, what? You know, I was once told that when a man has a lot of sex, that's good for him. He lives longer. Well, that's not really true. Because, see, that was before I understand the physical dynamics of what sex does to your body and what it takes away from your body. And we need to be able to have a personal control over our lives. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't indulge in different areas of intercourse because I'm married. You know that I have. But as you grow, you begin to understand the importance of your life source and how you want that life source to be the ignition for your energy. And if that life source is burned out, your energy transforms. And you lose what's called time-space control. And that's what we do. We're living in time, and we occupy space. I'm not going to follow up anymore on that because a lot of times I want you to do some of their own due diligence. And if you do your own due diligence, you'll understand the importance of how I laid that out and how I conveyed there. We also got to also, let me get a myth out the way. Women are the essence of our forever. You see, we will never have an existence without women. And that's why a woman is considered to be the highest energy in the universe. Because she is the key to our perpetual lives. Meaning that we as a people. That's why every human being has a counterpart. Regardless of what race you are. And there is a purpose for that, and that's to perpetuate your people. And we cannot, by no means, take for lightly the importance of the role that the woman plays, and nor can we take lightly the role that the man plays. But I want to point out that Westernism teaches that women are second-class citizens. I don't care how you want to see it, but that's how they portray it. And we must understand that if we want our daughters to be dynamic women, we must show them that by the way we treat our women. I'm not saying what you're doing is none of my business. I just want to put that out there because we cannot exist without them. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. I was hoping that I'd get some more calls, get any calls. But if I hit home, if I opened up any door for you to go out here and take a personal initiative to make change, I did exactly what I wanted to do. And here's the best part. I don't even have to know about it. You choose to tell me, I'll enjoy the experience, but I don't have to know about it. It's more important to me to have the time to do some research and present that to you so that you can open that door and be the man or the woman that you want to be. Don't feel like you have to be victimized. Don't let no one design the parameters of your decision. Make your decision, put your plan together, and go for it. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I hope I made an impact. I hope that you see yourself as the giant casting the shadow far beyond your size. And most of all, I hope you believe you can achieve the impossible. Brother Scotty, let me give it back to you, man.
All right. Thanks, Brother Davis, for another Wise Wednesday. On this April 5th, 2017, we are going to go ahead and shut it down. Dave had to leave early because he had a meeting he needed to attend. But New Abolitionist Radio is coming up at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And then closing out tonight will be Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio. They will have a guest tonight, author John Potash, who wrote the book about the FBI assassination of Tupac Shakur and other black leaders. That'll be their guest tonight. That program airs at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So thank you for tuning in to Tando Radio Show. Thank you again for another informative broadcast, Brother Davis. And we will close out the show and prepare for more programming.